I'm glad you've joined me today. I'm going to play the second part of a two-part message from 1 Kings, and I have entitled the message, Why Are You Here, Elijah? So let's go right now to the Mount Clover Road Baptist Church auditorium.
Verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. The mantle is just like a robe that you would put over you. And he wrapped his face in the mantle, and he went out, and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, now he's going to ask him the question a second time, why are you here, Elijah? Why are you here? Now you have to look at Elijah at this point and say, this man is the spiritual leader of the world. This is not someone who's been living a life of running from people. This is not someone who is just a new believer. This is the spiritual leader of the world at this point. He has an opportunity to impact the world with the cause of Christ. And God says to him the second time, Elijah, why are you here? I don't know how much you think about this, but you have an influence on other people. And if you decide to stay home or to quit or to give up, and hide yourself in a spiritual cave somewhere, God could ask you the same question. Why are you here? The people you come in daily contact with, the family that you're around, why are you here? Why would you be hiding in this spiritual cave? So Elijah gives the answer again. After seeing this, all the power of God, God demonstrates his power with the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. And now in a still small voice, God says to him the second time, Elijah, what doest thou here? Why are you here? Meaning, Elijah, I'm all powerful. My power is not limited. Even Elijah, if you are the only one, and you're not, even if you were, I'm all powerful. Why are you here? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, I'm not sure if this was his final opportunity for full restoration, but I do believe this was a second chance. And I believe that God could still mightily use Elijah, and yet Elijah gives the same answer the second time, and it's not the best answer. Maybe from this point, Elijah is not going to buy up every opportunity that he had had before to serve the living God. Now, you know, I think in our life, in our Christian life, we have opportunities to serve God. And if we do not buy them up, they may be passed on to someone else. And I would just say to you, opportunities come along. Opportunities to witness, opportunities to serve, opportunities to give, opportunities to pray. We have these opportunities to do things for God. And if we miss the opportunity, maybe God will come back the second chance. Give us the second chance or second time, and we'll have another opportunity maybe. Or maybe he'll come back the third time and you have an opportunity again. I'm not sure how many times, but I'll just say this to you. There will come a point where if we keep failing the opportunities, failing the test, that God may say, you know what, Elijah, I'll give this opportunity to another person. I'll give this opportunity to another church. I'll have someone else do this, because we know this, that the cause of Christ will keep right on marching on. Elijah has been buried. Elijah is buried, but the cause of Christ is still marching on today. Elisha, who followed Elijah, has been buried, but the cause of Christ has kept right on marching. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul have both been buried, but the cause of Christ keeps right on marching on. Jesus Christ is alive, and Jesus Christ is going to work through individuals, and you and I have opportunities to serve Him. But if we fail that opportunity, if we are not prepared, if we say, I won't do it, I can't do it, God, just let me die. I don't know, my fathers did this, and God, I'm not meeting up to the standard of my fathers. Just if we miss the opportunity, God will give the opportunity to someone else. And God will keep right on marching. You can be certain Jesus Christ is coming again. Nothing is going to stop that. He is preparing heaven for us. And at one point, it's already established when it is, Christ is going to return. You and I will fulfill or buy up every opportunity we have. Or many of us may step back and say, I'm going to miss that opportunity. I quit. I give up. And Elijah here may very well have missed opportunities. Because it says here in verse 15, it said, And the Lord said unto him, Go, return to thy way to the wilderness near Damascus. He said, when you come to Hazael, I want you to anoint Elisha to be the prophet to follow you. Elijah could have done anything or all that these other men were going to do that he was going to anoint. But God now says, I want you to anoint the king of Syria. By the way, God controls who the kings are, whether it's a Christian nation or not. I want you to anoint the king of Syria. I want you to anoint the king of Israel. And I want you to anoint the next prophet that's going to follow you. So, some would say that Elijah was a marred vessel. He had missed an opportunity to be mightily used by God again. When God tells him to do this, he is sensitive to what God tells him to do, and he obeys. He obeys. And he goes back and he anoints these men, and he anoints Elisha to be the next prophet. He's obedient. And then in verse 18, God says this, Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel. Now remember, Elijah has said twice, God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that hasn't worshipped Baal. I'm the only one following you. But God just throws in a statement here. Elijah, I have 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I have 7,000 that are still following me. It says, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him, or followed him, or worshipped him. So, he says, he just says to Elijah, Elijah, you're not the only one. And it's time to move on now. So Elijah anoints these men. Elijah goes and throws his mantle upon Elisha. And Elisha is going to become the prophet, the great prophet to follow Elijah. Now, you take all that and you say, well, what's that mean to you and me? What are the lessons we need to learn? Well, number one, we cannot escape failure. We cannot escape failure if we neglect opportunities to serve God, to give to God, to work for God. Others opportunities come, and if we neglect them, we cannot escape failure. It's going to happen. Number two, in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, Ye that think you stand, take heed lest ye fall. Who would have thought Elijah would go from the great prophet on Mount Carmel to within a few hours be running in fear from Jezebel? Ye that think you stand, take heed lest ye fall. We should learn a lesson that no matter what we're doing for God today, you say, well, boy, I'm doing this. I'm walking a Christian life. I'm living right. God's hands upon me. God's power's upon me. Be careful that you don't fall. My own experience and the experience of being around other preachers and other Christian people for all these years would be some of your greatest failings or greatest falls will follow mountaintop experiences. And here, Elijah has a mountaintop experience, but then falls very shortly thereafter. Take heed, ye that think you stand, lest you fall. And then I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I want to read verse 11. Jesus Christ is the speaker. And he's speaking to the church at Philadelphia. And he makes a comment here right before he's done speaking to them. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." I come quickly. Christ could come at any moment. At any moment, Christ can be here. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast." That means you have a reward. You have a reward or rewards that are coming. You have loved God. You have served. You've been faithful. You have given. All the things that you've done that have earned a reward. Hold fast to that reward which you have. There are things, and every person in this room would be different, but there are things you have done or earned rewards that are for heaven, that are forever, the treasure laid up in heaven. Hold fast to that reward that you have, that no man take thy crown. Your crown. Your crown that God has for you that has already been earned by you. You have earned it. You have sacrificed. You have made the effort. You have given. You have done whatever to earn those rewards. It is yours. It is there. It is waiting. And Jesus says, hold fast to that that you have, that no man take your crown. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to serve in a local church, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for year after year after year after year after year, and then have someone steal the crown away? Wouldn't it be a tragedy if Elijah, after calling down fire from heaven, being mightily used of God, would earn treasure in heaven and have it stolen away by a Jezebel? Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Hold fast to what you have. That means that the reward that you have earned, the reward that is rightfully yours, hold fast to it. Be careful. Be cautious. Watch over what you've done and not let someone steal away your testimony, your ministry, your walk with Christ. They'll steal away and just damage you or destroy you, and in so doing, you lose the reward that God has for you. What are you doing here? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking with Christ? You have your eyes on Christ? Are you hiding somewhere in a spiritual cave, not really doing anything for Christ, but afraid?